This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the entrepreneur interview section of the business show. Joining me in studio now is Sakumizi Makuwela. He's the founder and entrepreneur behind the very first restaurant on Vilakazi Street in Soweto. Welcome.
Thank you very much for inviting me at Cliff Central.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. Joining us in studio is Michael Hinton. He's joined us from the first section of the show.
Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you.
Great. So, Sakumizi, tell us a little bit about your restaurant business. Give us a taste tester of what your business is about. Give us some background.
Yes, we started Sakumizi 2001 with four people working at Sakumizi. I used to sit around the tree with my friends as I was working for an IT company fixing computers and ATMs. So I never had to go to work because in my area, I used to fix them right in such a way. Those computers or ATMs, they are not going to break again. So my friends, when they come from work or if they knock off early, they would come and visit me and they would find me sitting underneath the tree. The next thing, it will be 2, 3, 4 cars parked outside. And when it's weekend, they would be asking me, Saki, what's happening this weekend? But guys, why are you asking me what's happening? You are the one, Sakumizi, who knows where is the party, what's happening in Joburg.
I would be taking people out of Soweto
every weekend.
So the reputation is the party master.
It happened to be like that because I get to know the news. People are always hanging around the tree. And later, when I sneak inside the house around 7, my friends would follow me. They know I'm going to eat. And guys, you can't just put your dirty hands in my food. And they would be saying, you were drinking our beer outside, so we need to eat as well. We're hungry.
Ah, okay. So that started the drive to consider a restaurant business?
Yes, I decided to open once.
Okay. Now, I mean, how long have you been going?
It's been going since 2001. It's 15 years now.
Okay.
Running. We started with four people, and now we have 104 people working full-time on two shifts.
Sure.
So that that's exceptional growth, even in the
Are the biggest employer in Soweto, minus your Pick and Pay and ShopRite Checkers.
Yeah, let's call it your traditional corporate environment.
Yes.
Okay, I'm with you. Now, I mean, what have been some of the challenges that you've experienced with this business? I mean, you've started from, as you say, from four people, so. What were the issues that you experienced as a, let's call it a startup businessman in Soweto?
When you start your business, you look at your financials, you're excited, you're going to make money.
You're going to make millions in the first week.
You think you've got friends that are visiting every day, friends who've got many friends. But when you start, you forget to apply the same basic stuff you used to do when you're working for a corporate company. Every 6 months in a corporate company, you'll be going for training and so on. But when you are self-employed, you start not going for training, you start not learning, you don't have time to read newspapers or books or business books, you just work and work, and you end up working 7 days a week, especially in a restaurant, and you wonder why now your friends are running away, are not supporting, but you don't look at your mistakes, you don't give out questionnaires so that people can tell you exactly this is what we don't like, this is what we expect. So people just employ friends, just employ relatives, and you expect a difference there. So those were also our challenges.
So I'm hearing a few key things there, and I'd like to explore some of those. So the concept of ongoing learning as an entrepreneur, I think, is something that we've seen on a regular basis. You know, as you say, people become all consumed by their business. But more than being all consumed by it, it's a case of they just don't see, they almost lose perspective, I guess. And I hear you saying
it happens so fast because really when you are working, you've got deadlines, you've got end of the month, and the more you are panicking, the more you make more mistakes. And when you look back how much money you have invested in the business, you are telling yourself, I cannot fail. And you forget that there's internet out there to tell you what's happening, or there are other government departments. Like, for example, I'm in tourism. There's Gauteng Tourism Authority. There's Tourism Enterprise Program. There's also Gauteng Enterprise Propeller. Those government departments are there to teach entrepreneurs, But before they go there, you need to Google and understand what is being offered at Gauteng Enterprise Propeller, so that when you go there, exactly, you can look at what are your challenges. Mm. But we just end up working, and when we visit them, without doing a homework, when they turn you back, you just tell them that these government departments don't work, but they do work if you have done your homework.
Mm. So I'm hearing a lot there about being prepared with the right level of understanding of the issues that you're facing. I think it's also, you know, you've spoken about a few times of you work. The reality is that no matter which way you look at it, once you leave a corporate world per se, where potentially you've had a 9-to-5 or 8-to-5 job 5 days a week, the reality is the moment you're into your personal business, you suddenly become a 24/7, 365. And the reality is, I mean, I've always said, so sorry, no disrespect, but I never want to be in a business where I'm working when everybody else is enjoying themselves. Restaurant.
That's us in the restaurant.
Anything in the tourism industry, hotels, accommodation, restaurant, cruise liner, any of these things. I always feel so sorry for staff that are working really hard on a special day, a public holiday, whatever it may be, you sitting back and relaxing and enjoying the environment, and they working really hard to keep everybody happy. And
Richard, can I just mention, I had a great talk to Saki before he came on here. And, you know, in this program, we actually prove how difficult it is to run a successful business. Mm. Now, we are supportive and positive. We believe it can be done. But people mustn't be fooled. Mm. It takes incredible commitment. He's first in his row of restaurants. He's first on the scene, for instance. He's got a 24/7 commitment. But, you know, I just want to mention, people who start their own business must try and do it in a collaborative way, in a partnering way. My feeling now, after all these hundreds of programs we've had, Richard, is that, you know, if you think you're going to do it alone, be careful. Not many people can do it alone. But the right kind of partnership, the right kind of collaboration, because you need so many levels of skills. Man, it's impossible one guy really touch base. Then, as he said before, Saki was saying, just one thing happens and you're in trouble. Just like that. That's business for you. So be careful if you think you're going to do it by yourself. Be careful of that.
Yes, to add on that, I always go now and then. I'm invited at Gibbs or Deloitte or other government departments. They would call me, or like at Vets Business School, they're doing a case study about Sakom's restaurant. I always warn people who want to resign and go and be self-employed that, yes, you are a CA there where you work, but don't forget that you've got a secretary, you've got a PA, you've got people who are doing admin. So you better start learning all those departments before you think of you've got all these awards that you've got at work. When you're self-employed, you're going to be on your own.
Mm. Well, I always laugh. I always, you have people saying to you, and I've experienced this firsthand, is people say, oh, but you work for yourself. Your time must be your own. And I'm like, yeah, it is my own. I can determine what I do in my time. Obviously, I don't have to necessarily account to a corporate boss. But the reality is my new boss is my clients, and they are far more demanding than any corporate boss will ever be.
Whether you like it or not, you must wake up. Whether you're sick or not sick, there are things that really need your attention, and you can't send anyone else. But if you are working for one big corporate company, you just take that call and say, I am sick today, and you switch off your phone, and you've got nothing to lose.
Well, I must say, I had a good laugh. One of the people that I do some work with is currently ill. And I said to him, I spoke to him earlier today, and I said to him, something happened, and he said, yeah, he's going into the office. I said to him, why are you going into the office in the state you're in? No, I'm getting better, he said. And I listened to how he was sounding, and I thought to myself, that's the difference between a committed entrepreneur who knows what needs to be done, and he knows that if he's not there, there's a gap and things have to move forward, versus, you know, the thanks very much, I'm sorry, I'm taking a sick leave day. You know, when you're an entrepreneur running a restaurant, there are no sick leave days on that.
You don't even get a chance to get sick because you are so busy.
Yeah, you're not allowed to get sick. Okay, so, I mean, what are some of the other things that you've learned as you've journeyed down this road in the last 15 years?
The more it's difficult and you can see you're not moving, you're not going anywhere, that's when you need to take a break in your business and try and forget a little bit and just be far away. And then analyze, what is it that bothers me? What is it that makes me not to move forward? What is the competition doing better than what I'm doing? You know, when you're away, you are able to think, but the more we are frustrated, the more you want to stay in your business. But you need to move away and dot all those things down that are making you not to move forward.
Okay, so let me just paraphrase it. So you're suggesting the principle of being able to step back and look at your business, let's call it, careful with the word here, strategically or holistically, and being able to step out of the business for a moment and reflect, because I think that's it's quite an important thing. And to come to my Mike's perspective, I mean, I often ask the question, you know, yeah, we're busy running the operations and that, but are we sitting back and, you know, saying, well, this is my restaurant business, here's another restaurant business, what are the ratios looking like in my business versus the other business? You know, do I have the time to sit down and do my ratios, do my analysis, and make sure that I have an understanding of how we actually truly are performing?
Richard, you use the expression when people speak of downsizing. You're saying right-sizing. Remember, you used that expression before.
Yes.
Saki, we feel the pain. How many guys have gone down because they run a problem, but they won't adjust. They won't let people go even. They won't right-size. What they don't get the message is the business has changed. If they don't make these tough decisions, you're going to be in trouble.
You need to move with the times. You need to listen to the right radio stations. You need to read good books. And when you step back, it's when you look, what are you doing? What processes do we have to make it happen? And who is my client? Do I know what is expected of me? When is the last time you emailed your client and say, am I performing? When is the last time you looked at questionnaires, if you do give questionnaires? Because everything, the clients can tell you, or ask someone else, or take your staff to other restaurants and see what it's like to be served.
Well, I mean, I think that for me is one of the biggest learnings as an entrepreneur, is that people buy from other people, one, so that's critical. So realize that you're in the people business more than anything else in business today. And I think people think that technology has fixed that or taken that away, but that isn't the case. Yeah. If you look at how many people make a purchasing decision and they do their research online, that is increasingly growing. But when it comes to service and personal service, people want to be served by people. And as a consequence of that is, as you want to be served by people, you want to be able to interact with people. I mean, I think that there's nothing worse than the unapproachable entrepreneur, the unapproachable business owner. You know, and I'm actually, it's quite interesting that you make that comment, because I actually go out of my way when something goes wrong to find the right person in an establishment to tell them that something isn't happening. And often, you know, I often feel very sorry for some of the staff in an environment, because I think often entrepreneurs and people out there try and avoid having what could be considered to be a tough conversation. You know, hi, I'd like to talk to you about what's going on in your bathrooms. Have you been in there lately? No, I haven't. Okay, well, perhaps you should, as the owner and manager of the business, because I'm a client of yours and I've just been in there and you need to go in there and sort it out. You know, that kind of feedback, and you're in the restaurant
always
business.
Always run away from the truth because truth hurts and it will build you.
Yeah, Richard, can I just tie in with that? Saki, your thoughts. Richard has used it often a term on this show when experts come on, like our friend here, and they give an insight. And people realize, man, we make mistakes expensive. Now, we use the term, please speak to the experts. How have you found, because entrepreneur must be an expert in 100 different directions, how have you find important is to speak to the expert before you run into difficulties? What's your feelings on that?
You need to always find out who knows this better than you. You need to find out who's the best in the restaurants. Are there consultants or so? And it does really help. For example, we've got many spaces there at Sakum's restaurant where we can do a conference, where we can sit other people. And we've noted other places that this one we can make it a VIP. And we called experts that we've been in this industry for more than 30 years. So if you're going to make that area a VIP, you do it. But look how many people can you sit here. You can sit more than 200 people. And you'll be having your VIP section for 30 people. VIPs don't visit every time. They come once in a while. And those VIP of yours really don't have money. They're just acting. They can only blow 10,000 once in a month. And these other people will feel inferior now. Sakums is looking after the VIPs only. Let's move somewhere where we'll be in the same league and leave him with VIPs.
So you're saying before you pay the price, speak to the expert.
Ask for an expert advice.
What advice would you give to people who you get different types of businesses? So for example, we're in a consulting business. It's pretty regular. You know who your clients are going to be. From a restaurant industry, you don't know if there's going to be one person at your restaurant tomorrow or 10,000. How do you buy stock? How do you make calculations on that? Just going back to our ratios, our debtors, our inventory lists. How do you do that?
With difficulty.
No, with your point of sale, it tells you last week this is what you stocked.
Okay.
For example, raining or not, we are sure a week cases of Heineken will be sold. So if it's end of the month, instead of buying 20, then you'll buy 30. Even if they're not finished, you're still having them at the back stock.
Okay.
So your point of sale will tell you exactly every day this is what you use.
And we spoke earlier about pricing. How do you work out your margins? How did you start off? How do you price your what do you do?
When you start a business, it will be more of a penetration price. As your business grows, it's more of demand and supply or supply and demand.
Okay.
For example, average spend per person at Sakumzi is 250. For someone who comes from Sentin knows 250 is too much. Yes, for you if you're in Sentin. But for us in Soweto, it's still very cheap. If the average spend per person at Sakumzi was less than 250, it means I would need security. I would have hundreds and hundreds of people flocking there. So to segregate the market, it's price.
And just for interest sake, how did you manage to get a restaurant on the most famous road in the African continent?
I grew up in Orlando West. Okay. I was born in Soweto. It used to be my parents' home.
Wow, that's amazing.
Okay. Who do you support?
More on?
It's soccer.
More soccer. It's mostly Orlando Pirates.
Mostly, except when they're losing.
Mostly. So, I mean, you've got some great lessons there that you've learned as things have progressed in your business. I mean, if I was to say to you, you know, if you had to step back and say, what are the key learnings in life that you've had out there that you need to, you know, if you were to redo this, you know, let me call it a do-over, as they use in that saying, what are the key learnings that you could kind of say, hey, look, this was key, these are the four or five key things that you need to learn?
What I can say is I really don't know which one is which, because when I look back, when I started, I so wish I could have started with the best people, the best team.
Mm.
But when you start, you don't have money.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to employ the best chef, the best cook, the right managers. You don't have money to pay that. And I'm also fortunate that I only have matric. I never went to varsity to do BCom or so. If I did have a BCom degree, I would have quit trying to start a business when it's not going anywhere. I would have looked at my income. I would have looked at my expenses. My costs are higher than what I'm getting in. And it happened for more than 4 years where I was not breaking even.
So you
but
would,
because
you
were, I was not Mike, educated,
he was doing
I kept
his
on
ratios.
Moving.
He was doing his ratios and said, what am I doing here? Okay, so you think a little bit of, I guess what I'm hearing there is almost the fact that you didn't have that knowledge allowed you to push forward and push on. And there is that concept of almost let me use the words carefully, blissful ignorance of going, well, I just have to make this work.
And I had to make it work because when I was looking at where I'm working, I like my job. I've got a company car. I've got a credit card, petrol car.
Mm.
But when I looked at how much am I taking home after the deductions, it's 8,000. And I'm saying, if I hang on here, sooner or later, I'll be earning 20 times what I'm getting now.
Mm.
And that kept me moving. And I looked at where we are. There is an opportunity. This thing will grow as soon as I start doing things the right way. There's no way that I can fail as long as I've got the right team. So when SAP Kickstart took me for 2 weeks.
Ah, so you were part of the SAP Kickstart program.
Yes, it opened my mind that, no, man, you are not doing things the right way. There's HR. When you employ, you just employ a friend, you just employ a relative. Your finance department, what can you say? What's the structure of your finance department? I did not have all the right systems and controls. I was just working more than running a business. So after the course for 2 weeks, then I started structurizing my own HR, making sure there's bookkeeping, there's accounting, there's auditing, even if I was doing all that by myself. But when I'm employing someone, this is how I do it. Write down everything that money came in, money that is going out. So more or less a week, this is what we are spending. When we work for corporate, we do things by the book. When we get self-employed, we use only our mind and it won't work.
So you've learned a lot of the hard lessons. Have you ever thought about franchising?
I so wish anyone can start a business, but to scale it to the next level, it's when I need to go back to school now, because I ran away from matric thinking I'm done running a business. You cannot run away from school.
Sure.
I need to go to school, build my own capacity, build a good team, because before franchise, I need to run two or three of the circumcises. Then when I'm selling a franchise, I can really sell a document. This is how you're going to run with it.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, you know, if you look at some of the more successful franchise operations out there, particularly you look at places like Famous Brands, Taste Holdings, you know, some of the bigger brands out there. And I talk to some of the people that work within those environments. And the one thing that strikes me is how to be a successful franchisee, you actually need to not be an entrepreneur. Because what happens is the franchisor has the obligation and does do this of creating that infrastructure and that roadmap and the systems and the processes, and everything's really defined. And you don't want the entrepreneur to come along and say, hey, let's change the menu up a little bit because, hey, I think it would work a little better to have some of this or a bit of that. And even, you know, I mean, if you look at somebody like or an establishment like Tasha's, where they have a specific menu per location and they've made that part of their franchise operation, they've done that very successfully, but they've done it as a holistic strategy. Every franchise picks their theme. They go through a real rigorous process around how they do that.
It's a paint-by-numbers exercise.
Yeah.
Really much.
So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing to see. Are you considering franchising? Is that something that's on the table?
I've paid my school fees to start a restaurant where it is.
Mm.
So if I need to scale it to the next level, it's when we'll need those big companies to come and help us now to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
For example, with Sakum's restaurant, it's doing well because we've got big companies like your Torvest, like your Thompson Tours that bring 20 people, another one 50 people. So it's plus minus 200 people at one time. So you need to hire more people to run with that.
Yeah.
So with corporate companies, if they support small business, then we'll be able to move to the next level.
Okay, well, that's an interesting one. Okay, so as we start to get towards the end of the show, I'm going to ask you one of the questions that I always ask everybody who comes to the show every week. In fact, if you listen to the show, you can pre-pep on this question. I always ask, you've now had 15 years of experience, you've learnt a lot, you've banged your head, you've had sleepless nights, what is the one thing that you wish you'd been listening to the radio or a show like this 15 years ago, and somebody sitting in your seat had said on air, I know, or I have learned the following thing, And if you had known that back then, it would have saved you so much effort, so much pain. You would have been able to do things so differently. What is that one key thing for you?
For me, I can say there's internet. We need to Google if there's something we don't understand.
Mm.
And if I've invested more time when I started all these years, reading more business books, reading books that motivate me, I would have been far, far. Because why my business has grown, I started after 5 years starting to read business books, starting to be with people who are in the same industry.
Mm. I'm hearing a lot about the principle of looking after yourself as an entrepreneur. And I think that's something that we don't talk enough about on the show, is the fact that as an entrepreneur, you also have to, let's call it, pay yourself in terms of investing time and energy into yourself to actually lift your game.
On that note, when I saw that every month I'm working and I'm not able to pay myself, that's when I said, if I buy a book for 200 or 400, that's the only way I'm paying myself. When I could not sleep, I used to read a book, and all the answers that one needs are in the book. So I started paying myself by buying a book. And then later, when the restaurant was growing, then I started buying myself nice holidays, nice cars, nice houses.
I love that principle. And I think that there's a very important, let's call it,
there's no need for you to work or to be in business for more than 5 years if you cannot pay yourself.
Yeah.
You just need to go and work again for someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that principle of, even if you can't afford to pay yourself initially, pay yourself enough to go and buy that book so that when you are lying awake, sleepless at night, worrying about something, you've actually got something productive that you can do.
Yes.
And you're actually able to grow and generate opportunities.
And as you said, it might have been expensive at the time. So I can't afford to pay myself. So what am I doing buying a 400 Rand book? Could be the best investment you ever made.
Yeah, well, great. Well, thank you very much, Sukhmizi. It's been great having you on the show. It's been great learning a lot about your business. Obviously, a great place to visit, and we invite people who are in the environment to go and visit your restaurant on Vilakazi Street. Next up, we're going to be moving to the transformation platform and talking about transformation in the healthcare industry. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
This is CliffCentral.com.